This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey, history fans, history lovers, history buffs, welcome to This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm, brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. Tony Hubert with you, Armand Kachigian, my partner. He's effervescent, he's buoyant, he is...
Oh, I'm sinking today.
He's shimmering. He is a knight in shining armor for you history fans, as today we bring you the events of August the 15th throughout the annals of time. What happened, who was born, who died, and all that good stuff. Lots of good pop culture on today's show, by the way. Some important pop culture.
There's no such thing. That's an oxymoron.
Pop culture is an oxymoron?
Right.
How do you say it? How do you think?
Science today.
Is it just
That's
culture?
Important.
Or no, is it just pop?
Pop culture. It's not important.
Oh, it's not important.
Yes.
Huh.
By definition.
So it's disposable culture is what you're saying.
It's trivial.
It's trivial.
Especially the pop culture you enjoy with your plebeian taste.
Plebeian taste.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you're
a Boeotian.
You are so highbrow there,
Philistine.
Mr. Enrico Caruso.
That's right. You don't listen to Caruso.
No, you're right. I don't. He hasn't had a hit for, what, 9 decades? Come on. Did I ever hear Casey Kasem say his name? No.
Every movie star, every star of any consequence probably has a lot to... He was the first international celebrity.
Hey, I told you yesterday we played a clip, Hell of a Voice. I mean, a hell of a voice. Well, that's really...
Play him instead of Judy Garland.
Well, hey, don't bury,
up here.
Don't bury the lead.
All right, let's go.
All right. That's enough out of you.
It leads.
Well, Armand, I don't know how you feel about things. I know you are sort of a religious fellow, and you don't deny existence, and neither do I. But some things make me scratch my head, such as this. In 1248, the relics, the remains, that is, of the three wise men are laid to rest in a cathedral where the foundation stone is laid on this date. August the 15th, again, 1248.
Says relics, I don't know. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Maybe, but the three wise men?
They're never, actually, the names are never even mentioned in the Bible. But
never
they do
mentioned.
Have names.
Yes.
Yeah. You know the names?
No.
Gaspar or Casper, Melchior, and Balthazar.
Balthazar. I've heard that before. Yeah,
because
yeah,
you've
heard
seen Ben-Hur. Balthazar was played by Finlay Currie.
So... the foundation stone that is what Cologne? Do you say Cologne or do you just say Köln?
Cool. Well, the Germans, I think Köln or
Cologne. Yeah, K-O-L-N with your own line.
What's the is that on the Main? No, that's Frankfurt, isn't it?
Yeah, Frankfurt. Frankfurt's on the Rhine.
Is it on the Rhine?
I don't know.
It's on the Rhine.
I've never been to Köln. I've been to Frankfurt. Lovely city. Looks really. As a matter of fact, when you're driving to Frankfurt, it damn near looks like any American city.
Well, that's on the Main, I believe.
Yeah, not the Rhine. The Main.
No, M-A-I-N.
That's right. That's right. Because there's another town on that, Mainz, M-A-I-N-Z. They got a football team, too. Yeah, so Köln Cathedral, housing the three wise men relics. Don't know if I buy that.
Yeah, well.
Everybody's got relics,
allegedly.
Armand. Everybody's got relics. Even your own local parish is supposed to have
Rhine.
A relic.
The Rhine River.
Now, speaking of religion, 1534, six fellows and a guy named Ignatius take some initial vows.
This little group of seven
eventually leads to the creation of the Society of Jesus in September of 1540. But on this date, they take their vows, and this
called
is
called the Jesuits.
And this is the founding. This is the beginning of the Jesuits.
Well, now I don't know how do you pronounce that Jesuit, because there's no diacritical mark over the I.
I agree.
Shouldn't there be a diuresis?
I think it's pronounced wrong.
So
I think
it's the Jesuits.
I think
or Jesuits.
Jesuits. Jesuits. Hair suits?
Yeah.
No, no. I think it's probably pronounced wrong. I think I agree with you.
Well, you got to have a diacritical mark over
well,
it.
You know that. They
have to have a diarrhea over
Jesuits
it.
Didn't want to be too critical of anything. let alone
make a
die
movie
a
about him, or was that St. Francis of Assisi? The movie with Bradford Dillman, it was awful. I think that was St. Francis.
I think that's St. Francis. Now, the good movie about the Jesuits, it's called The Mission with Jeremy Irons and Robert De Niro from back in the mid-80s.
I didn't like that movie.
You didn't like it?
It had good music. Oh, I think John Barry did the
score. Was tremendous.
Yeah, it was a great score.
Yeah. Score was tremendous.
I thought the movie was a little boring.
Now, just after the Jesuits get formed, 9 years later, Francis Xavier, a Jesuit priest, is coming ashore in Japan at Kagoshima.
What got into him? What the hell's he
doing?
Well, he's
going to convert. Convert the Shintos.
No. You might as well.
Folks, we're all looking for the same thing: peace and enlightenment.
Just climb Mount Fuji and
read a book,
have some sashimi, and go home. Don't proselytize.
Well,
yeah, Bradford Dillman, St. Francis of Assisi.
What's the name of the movie? St. Francis of Assisi.
No, not Saint, just Francis.
Just Francis of Assisi.
He hadn't made Saint yet.
Yeah.
That was the big ending.
Oh, that was who saved it for the end.
Yeah. He was just kind of an asshole, I think.
No, the animals loved him.
Is he still alive? Bradford,
Dillman? No, Francis of Assisi. He's probably one of the most famous saints there is. Everyone knows Francis.
What is he? Saint of what?
Patron saint of a couple things, actually.
Toilet attendants?
No, stop that. That's St. Armandatius.
Yeah. Bradford Dillman. He's got to be dead.
Yeah, I would think
he was good in... remember he was Clint Eastwood's captain in The Enforcer?
That was just on the other night. Yeah. I was watching
that. Remember he's shooting pool? He goes, "Can I make a statement?" "Yeah, go ahead." "Your mouthwash ain't making it."
That's okay. Right. Yeah, I got a picture of the guy in my head now. Okay.
That's Bradford Dillman.
By the way, a lot of Clint Eastwood movies have been running lately on cable.
That says is, so I guess he's still alive.
Yeah, good for him.
Usually it's was, right?
Yeah, is, was.
Let's
past
see.
Tense. For
God, he's got to be really old.
1824, one of the heroes of the American Revolution makes a...
did we have any heroes in that one?
Well, he kind of made a victory lap. Waited a while to do it, almost 50
he's 87,
years.
87, he's still alive.
Yeah, yeah. That not this guy, the guy we were
Bradford
talking about.
Bradford Dillman.
Bradford Dillman. But the Marquis de Lafayette.
McKay, that's right. I'm trying to think of his name in the movie. McKay, can I make a statement?
Statement? Your mouthwash
ain't making it.
Making it.
All right. Go ahead and make my mouthwash.
So the Marquis de Lafayette,
Who
is the last surviving of the French generals to fight in the Revolution?
How many French generals fought in the American Revolution?
Boy, good question.
Rochambeau wasn't a general, was he?
I don't think so.
He was.
I don't think
he
helped
a lot.
I'd say maybe six.
Yeah, maybe he was. Maybe
something
we made
like
him a
that.
General. Hell, you could be a private in the French army and be a general in ours.
That's probably true.
Oh, I'm running out of battery life here.
See,
don't ask too many. Oh, by the way, we got a few. Lovey's name was Eunice.
Oh, good, Lovey.
I looked that up.
Yeah, Lovey from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah,
Eunice. Real name on the show, not in real life.
Right.
So he tours 24 states. The Marquis does. 48 years after the revolution really begins
Sounds
in earnest.
Sounds like he's looking for panhandling around
I think,
for
yeah,
money.
I think he probably visited Jefferson and just before.
Lucky he didn't get his head cut off hanging around in France.
Oh, no, well, no kidding, man.
Well, I guess Rochambeau was he's a nobleman. Jean-Baptiste Donatien de Vimur de Rochambeau.
Yes, you say that very well.
What a name. Marshal of France. That makes him a general.
That's a general. Where would we be? You make fun of the French. Where would we be without them?
We'd be where we belong, in the British Empire.
Oh, that's where. Oh, hear that, Americans?
That's right.
Armand thinks we should just be loyal.
Hey, wait. Everybody have health insurance, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't like it.
No shit, I wouldn't like it.
There you go. Well, the good with the bad, Armand.
Tell Mr. Schumer.
I didn't know you were a monarchist.
I'm an anarchist.
You are an anarchist.
I am. The more I read, the more. What the hell we need government for? In this day and age, we don't need government to do anything. You know, I read a great article about how you really defend people. Insurance. You have these insurance companies. So you're indemnified. If somebody robs you, they indemnify you or whatever, and they protect. I don't know. It's a good article. Mises Institute.
Yeah. 1824, that was Lafayette. 1914, Frank Lloyd Wright. Now, as renowned an architect as he is.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
There was a scene reminiscent of the Manson family at one of his homes.
Yeah, it was, and it has nothing to do with race, but this was a black guy.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know what his problem was. He went bonkers,
it's an employee of
he went crazy.
Frank Lloyd Wright. It's serving at the house, and he murders seven people at Taliesin in Wisconsin.
And he, locked the door. They're trying to get out.
And he's
leaning up against it. Yeah.
He sets fire to Taliesin, which, of course, is one of the famous you know, Frank Lloyd Wright Holmes, and well, it's famous also because it's the one Frank lived in a lot.
That's some kind of Welsh god or something, I think, Taliesin.
Just crazy.
Now he opened up Taliesin West, Arizona.
Is that Arizona or New Mexico?
Around, or
Arizona?
Maybe it is.
Do you like the architecture?
Well, it's great.
I love it. Now, I've heard the houses are hard to live in.
I wouldn't. Yeah, they're good to look at.
But,
I don't live in.
Yeah,
and you want to live with a waterfall in your house?
Imagine
the mold.
Falling water, it's certainly great to look at. Now, my wife grew up next to a Frank Lloyd Wright house.
Well, yeah. Oak Park has a, I remember.
Uh-huh. But one in Missouri. It's now a county or state park. I forget if it's a county or state park.
I believe he was the prairie style.
And yeah, and I don't know if the home would be classified as prairie style or not, but it's called the Krause House. And you know, architecturally, even from the outside, you know, it was amazing to look at. But yeah, 7 people murdered at Taliesin in Wisconsin, August 15th, 1914. Also, same date, Panama Canal opens to traffic. Good trivia question. What's the first ship to go through the canals?
Oh, the Ancon.
The Ancon.
You know, I remember that.
Short for Anaconda.
I think of Fred swimming because he's
One of our guys here at lineupmedia.fm, Fred Lacone, who was a college swimmer.
There you go.
Yeah, and you get the SS.
I didn't know he was a college
swimmer. Yes, he was.
Well, he's kind of built like one.
Yeah, he was a swimmer in college. Williams.
I mean, he looks good in Speedos.
Williams. Well, you tell him that. He'll probably like to hear that.
I wouldn't risk it.
The SS Ancon.
It still doesn't say where the hell.
1915, the New York World newspaper reveals that the German government, that's the imperial German government.
Well, every government's imperial.
To a degree, had purchased a whole bunch of phenol from Thomas Edison.
Phenol?
Yeah. Phenol. Am I saying that right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, the phenol would then.
C6H6.
C6H6. That's so phenol. 6 carbons to 8 hydrogens.
No, C6H6. 6 hydrogens. That's the 6
oh, I'm
in
sorry.
A ring.
I'm sorry.
A
you
ring
said,
structure.
Yeah, you said a 6, not a. Yeah.
C6H6.
So phenol, now it's purchased from Edison. And, the Germans, they give it over to the buyer company. You know, they're good with that aspirin and a whole bunch of other things.
Well, back then they were doing
a whole bunch of other things. And it was used to make explosives for the war effort.
Here's the guy's name. Julian Carlton was the guy that started the fire. 31-year-old man.
31-year-old
man.
Chef and servant.
Oh, there you go, right there. He overworked the guy. I bet they didn't pay him $15 an hour either. And he's doing 2 jobs.
Yeah.
No wonder he burned the place down.
So you're for the minimum wage.
Are you nuts?
Okay. Just making
it's
sure.
Unconstitutional, by
just
the way.
Just making
Carlton,
sure.
Carlton, well, let's get into this. This is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Carlton was an Afro-Caribbean. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it means his descendants, he's descended from the slave trade
this is getting ridiculous.
What? It's
Afro-Caribbean.
That's where he's from.
It's Caribbean. Of West Indian descent, ostensibly from Barbados.
Yeah, I mean, but you just... There are all sorts of ethnic groups in the Caribbean. All sorts.
Okay, listen to this. Originally a genial presence on the estate, Carlton grew increasingly paranoid.
Uh-oh. He's having a mental...
He stayed up late at night with a butcher knife looking out the window. Well, that's an indicator. You know, even Freud. You don't need Freud to diagnose this guy.
Getting a little...
This behavior had been noticed by Wright and Borthwick, whoever the hell he is.
Okay.
Who issued an ad in a local paper for a replacement cook. Well, there you go. Yeah. That's it.
Probably read
Carlton
the ad.
Was given the notice that August 15, 1914 would be his last day in their employ.
Oh, boy.
What a coincidence. There you go.
Don't tell a guy that
sleeps
with a butcher knife that he's out of a job until you have found him another job.
Before he left, Carlton plotted to kill the residents of Taliesin. His primary target was draftsman Emil Brodel, who had called Carlton a, quote, black son of a bitch. Ooh. On August 12th,
I'm sure
for not following an order.
Sure, he was called a few other things, probably.
I can imagine. Hey, listen, I was going to talk to you about that stupid article you put, or that stupid interview you put, or was it Corey?
Hey, the people don't
Which
know
one
what
of you
we're
bums
talking
put
about.
That on Facebook?
Corey Smith, our show writer, put
that
a...
That guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
You think a United States general has no conception of what
mean?
He's talking about?
Yeah, right. I certainly do.
Okay.
Well, what he's talking
and
about.
And folks, to clear this up, since Armand likes to go on tangents,
we're talking about...
Is
well, this is how the blacks treated in the North were probably treated just as bad, if not worse, than the South.
Oh, racism didn't know a border.
There's
Armand.
My point. So you think people in Boston were going to fight the Civil War for slaves?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Racism didn't know a border.
Well, that's what I'm saying. New England did not go to war to fight the slave for freedom for the slaves. Give me a break.
Well, so you tell that to the general.
I would.
So we sent Armand a video yesterday, showing.
Well, you posted it on Facebook and made fools of yourself.
No, I didn't post it on Facebook. I sent it to you in an instant message.
Where'd that kid go to school anyway?
I don't know.
Man, I liked him best when he was writhing around with a torn hamstring.
Well, start playing Office Olympics with him again, and then probably happen.
And I gave him an ace wrap.
Oh, wow. What is your generous, kind soul.
Yeah. Those cost $3.
Yeah, $3. When you bill them for it at four times the rate.
210 in the hospital.
See, and we'll see if our insurance covers it.
It's all right. I'll take your marker.
All right.
Anyway.
A tragedy in 1930.
The Civil War was not fought over slavery. Yeah. So, okay, case closed.
Okay, right, fine. That tangent closed.
Some lunatic.
Tangent closed.
All right.
1935, a tragedy, Armand. One of the great...
You don't think this was a tragedy? Taliesin was a tragedy.
Taliesin was a tragedy.
Right. Well, then another tragedy.
Another tragedy.
Well, how come they're not in the death section then, Mr.?
I took them out because we're going to mention them now. Great American humorist and another gentleman by the
great
name
American
of...
Great American aviator.
Yeah, true. Wiley Post.
He was great, too.
Will Rogers and Wiley Post are both killed after their... aircraft has engine problems taking off from, of all places, Barrow, Alaska.
Yeah, I think what happened was they flew from Fairbanks to Point Barrow. I don't know what the hell for. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, delivering a diphtheria serum or something like Balto, our friend, the dog. So I don't know what the hell they're doing, just playing around. I think basically Will Rogers went along just to have something for his newspaper article.
Right.
So he's typing.
Yeah, he's probably creating a story, a
Post
journal.
Is crashing.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I think that, like, this plane was weird, too. They had, it's like an amalgam of two different planes. They cannibalized, and supposedly the wings were too long, and they you put floaters on it, you know, instead of landing gear. And
yeah,
those were too heavy.
So lands on pontoons.
But they were too far forward or whatever. They're too heavy. So this thing's really nose heavy. And that's what it would, boom. So apparently they made it to Barrow. And they stopped in a lagoon or something to ask for directions because they didn't know where the hell they were, or at least posted.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
the early
so then
days
they take
of
off
flying.
Again, and this time.
Before right, navigation
right
systems.
Right into the drink.
Just being lost.
Yeah, they had GPS.
Do you know there's big markers throughout the West? You know, there'll be an arrow. You'll see a big concrete arrow occasionally on the ground. It's hard to see from the ground, actually. Sometimes you can.
Of what?
Well, these were placement arrows for the United States Post Office aircraft. So that they, you know, because they didn't fly at 20,000 feet. They probably flew at a couple thousand feet.
10 feet.
So that they could, you know, they would, you know, just follow the path.
Are you sure they weren't for the Pony Express riders?
No, because the Pony Express riders would have had a hard time seeing them.
Yeah. Well, they knew where they were going.
No, the horse knew where it was going after long enough. Just sit back and relax. Point the horse heads and
it's gonna be
let
like,
her go.
It's going to be like these self-driving cars.
No.
When are we going to have 5 years?
I'm going to say 15.
Oh, no way. Come on.
No, I mean, the tech, you can do it today. Have you ridden with your cousin yet?
No.
I'm not kidding, Armand.
Well,
that car will drive by
that's
itself.
Why do you think it's going to be 15? All you got to do is get the legalities all ironed
because
out.
Because that's, like
well,
you say,
yeah, maybe.
I'm proving your point.
Yeah.
The legalities and the regulate and whatever.
I don't know about that. I
so
think,
what,
I think
what's your
be...
cousin and his cousin, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, he just
is,
puts it into whatever. And
well, when someone is in the passenger seat that doesn't know that the car is self-driving, I like to sit in the back. And he, of course, is in the driver's seat. And then I start an argument with him. And then at some point, he engages the, for lack of a better term, autopilot.
Listen, I wouldn't start an argument with that clown. You're going to get till Taliesin your ass.
And then what he does is he turns around and pretends to come after me in the back seat. And the passenger's like, what the hell's going on? And the car is still driving down the road and following the curb.
We're playing a joke.
Well, and we've done it.
Do it with the other drivers, too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's quite a sight.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's... First of all, I don't think there's going to be in 5 years, maybe 10 years, I don't think people have cars anymore. You're going to need them.
Be great.
You're not going to need them.
I'd love
now, the only thing I was thinking about is like when I went to Chicago...
I'd love to not have a car payment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, how would I get to Chicago? Because I drive to Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that would be a little tough.
Yeah. I don't know.
I bet it wouldn't cost more than $20, man.
That'd be fine with me, too.
Right.
Take the family, if family afford a Chicago round trip, $80.
Take the Hyperloop.
I'm in. No problems.
All right.
You get me there in 15 minutes, I'll pay $160.
Good. Get rid of the trains, too. Losing
that'd be
money.
Fine.
Getting losing
yeah,
money.
Yeah, no, that'd be totally
or the
fine.
Amtrak. The other trains are making good money. You know.
Oh, freight trains?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because Trump's a big coal guy, and that means trains.
Oh, dude, I've had coal trains coming past my house for the last 15 years at a rate of 20 per day.
Roscoe,
full.
Roscoe Coal Train?
No.
No. What's the other guy? What's the jazz guy?
I don't. John Coltrane.
John Coltrane, yeah.
It's Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Okay. A P? What's P?
I don't know what Roscoe's middle initial is.
Oh, we got to look it up now.
1939, this debuted August the 15th.
I'm gonna tell you, yes, Phineas.
At Grauman's Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. An American classic, Armand.
Almost cut. They were going to cut it out.
They almost cut this song?
Roscoe Purvis. Purvis Coltrane.
Well, you know,
Melvin Purvis.
Melvin Purvis,
yeah,
I bet.
Sure, he's a cop.
But they almost cut somewhere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was too long. It was running too long. And I think Mayer said cut the damn thing out. Because a couple reasons. Because they thought it was too long in Kansas. And they didn't like her singing in a barn. Demeaning.
They move her out to the barnyard.
Right. So they put her in the shit. You know,
they got
she's
chickens.
Standing in horse shit.
She got chickens walking past her.
That added some elegance to it. Whatever.
Elegance.
Yeah.
Ambiance.
Yeah.
The guy, there's Toto. I think he makes his.
Not food. Terry. That's Terry.
That's Terry.
Yes. Terry, the. You know, Judy Garland wanted to adopt Terry, but her owner wouldn't give it to give her.
Good for her.
Give her
to.
I think it's a woman, a girl. It's a woman.
I tried to adopt Judy Garland
XX.
At that age, but I think Mickey Rooney already was there, wasn't he?
Man, she had a car. She liked Victor Fleming.
She liked the older guys.
There are actually
huh?
five directors on this movie.
Jesus. Wow.
I think Richard Thorpe was the first one. They fired him. And then, ironically, they brought in George Cukor, fired him, too. He got kicked off or whatever, which is the same thing happened Gone with the Wind. Cukor gets kicked off and Fleming takes over.
How much... So much went on in 1939 in the film. It's incredible.
Like, but that's, well, that's regarded as the greatest year in the history of films.
Yes. And I don't think it can be topped.
Well, let's see. What do we got? We got Gunga Din, one of my favorites.
You got The Four Feathers, which is one not
Four
too
Feathers.
Many people talk about, but
oh,
it's a beautiful film.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Gone
go.
With the Wind. Dodge City with Errol Flynn. And actually, Elizabeth and Essex came out.
What did John Ford do that year? I'm sorry, I'm killing Under the Rainbow here.
John Ford, what was he up to? Well, he did.
Did you Stagecoach?
Yeah, Stagecoach.
Okay.
It was kind of the year of the Western, too, the big Western.
Yeah.
Western Union, I think, came out. That was DeMille.
So 1939, premiering. Now, the film's in color. I still think the film looks spectacular.
Yeah, I like the sepia tones of Kansas.
No, no, it's it. No, when you think of old timey that first sequence in Kansas before the tornado, and then the brilliant color that comes. I mean, that had to be eye popping for that age.
Who did
just
the
sit
photography?
In a theater.
Was that Ray Renahan?
I don't know.
I don't remember doing the photography on that one.
Good cinematographer there.
Yeah, and we were talking about it would have been a hell of a lot better. I mean, Frank Morgan's kind of a – I like him, but he's kind of a clown. But W.C. Fields was the guy they wanted.
For the actual wizard, the man behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah.
But he wanted – you were telling me he wanted more
screen time. Yeah, he won $100,000 first of all. And Mayer offered $75,000, and Mayer wasn't the kind of guy to give in too much.
Uh-huh.
He wanted more screen time. He thought – so that's why Morgan plays all these different parts. Because they're adding all these parts, like the guy at the door, gate, and all this stuff.
And isn't he driving the carriage with the changing color horse?
Yeah, which was interesting. I think they put taffy or something on those horses, and they were eating it themselves.
Yeah.
They had to shoot those fast.
I bet they did.
Yeah, because the horses were eating their makeup. Let's see, photographer of Wizard of Oz.
But you don't like the film, which is
it's okay, but I mean, it's no Gone with the Wind.
Well, of course not. It's no Gone with the Wind.
It didn't make that much money either. Well,
no, you know
not in the United States, but abroad it made a lot of money.
But it really hit with the advent of television and replays in the 50s and 60s.
They re-released it in like 48 or something.
Oh, sure, but theater re-release.
Yeah, and it made a lot of money on that one. I think more than the first time.
Well, ticket prices go up too. Come on. Now, in terms of butts and seats, it did not compete with Gone with the Wind. Which will probably always be the all-time leader for butts and seats, right?
Well, it's going to be I don't know. This one's probably been seen by more people now.
No, I mean, physical body sitting down in the theater to watch the movie.
Adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind will always be the top.
I get that.
I'm paying a quarter.
Here's what I wish the movie industry would release. Tell me the actual attendance.
Yeah, well.
Because that's the way I can compare the eras.
Well, I guess they know that.
Of course they know it. Well, they're not going to release it.
They don't really care about that.
I'm supposed to divide by the average ticket price? That's too much work.
Yeah, come on. You can do that.
Now, in 1941, while you're looking that up, Armand, a gentleman who's a corporal, Corporal Joseph Jacobs. Know what happens to this guy? He's the last person.
Yeah, I think I do.
He's the last person to be executed at the Tower of London for espionage. By?
They should have executed Edward VIII.
Guess how they did it.
Ooh, Tower of London?
Yeah. Now, it's 1941, so there's a lot of options.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
7:12 a.m.
Hanged him?
Nope.
The axe?
Nope. That's what I... Yeah, 1941, if you axe
someone... Give him the axe. Right in the neck. Right in the neck.
Tower of London, they...
Threw him off the tower.
Ah, that's never a guarantee.
Oh, here's the other... Wait a minute. I forgot. King Vidor was the director on... And Norman Torog.
Gee whiz.
Who I believe is the youngest man to win the award. Best director.
So, Joseph Jacobs...
Yeah, how they kill him.
Executed by firing squad at the tower.
That's the best way.
Yep, there you go. All right. Halfway through the events, let's see who was born on this date. Biggie's 1769, Armand.
Who?
He's an emperor. He's a general. Yeah. We know him. We love him. Napoleon.
Which Napoleono or Napoleoni.
Can I take
because
a guess?
He's born. That was technically Italy, but France took it
over.
Yeah,
can I take a guess? His name means the Lion of Naples, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. There you go.
Now, that's a guy I imagine you're a big fan of.
Yeah, well, you guys are a genius.
Military genius?
Yeah.
Political genius?
I forgot. What was the name of that French general he said was the greatest genius of all time? Mm-hmm. That got hit by a cannonball.
He had studied this guy's work?
Yeah. In the 17th century.
He was a young man when he did all this, too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
If you would have asked me what year he was born, 1769 would not have been a guess. Dies in 1821. He wasn't here long.
No.
Only 42 years.
Yeah, and I think they poisoned him.
Yeah. On the island? Was that Elba?
St. Helena.
St. Helena. Was he on Elba for a while?
Yeah, he was on Elba. And then he came back.
Then he came back.
Yeah, then it was time to get rid of him for good.
I
think that's why they... But I remember his horse's name?
No.
Marengo.
Because his horse was white and Marengo is for meringue, right?
No, I think Marengo was one of his great battles that he won.
I'm reading too much into it.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a French meringue pie or something.
No. And then the Duke of Wellington, his horse was Copenhagen.
Copenhagen?
Yeah, I don't know where
The chewing tobacco or the city?
Never go anywhere without it.
And what was Washington's horse name again?
Oh, shit.
What was Lee's horse?
Traveler.
Yep. Traveler got pulled down.
Alexander the Great was Bucephalus.
Bucephalus. That's a hell of a name for a horse.
What was Washington's horse? I thought you knew it. You always ask me.
I just want to make sure.
Let's see. Other famous horses. I think, let's see. William III's horse was, what was his horse? He had a famous horse, too.
Oh, Blueskin was one of the horses, but that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Blueskin? Who was Old Whitey?
Nelson. That was Washington's horse. Nelson.
Nelson?
That's the one.
Yeah. Okay, who had Old Whitey? That was one of our presidents, wasn't it?
No, I don't know.
Old Whitey.
Yeah, Old Whitey?
I think it was it William Henry Harrison's horse?
Could be.
Let's see. I think... Alexander Great named a city after Bucephalus.
Zachary Taylor's horse.
Old Whitey.
There you go. That concludes the horse section of the show. 1771, happy birthday, Walter Scott, playwright, novelist, poet. Any love there, Armand?
You know, I was just thinking it couldn't have been Ray Branahan because I think he did a Gone with the Wind.
Mm.
No way he was doing both.
Armand's doing his own show, folks.
Yeah,
1859, Charles Comiskey, the ball player, manager, of course. Owner, Chicago White Sox.
Both?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he played. And, of course, the owner of...
I think he treated his players.
If he treated his players a little better, they may not have tried and throw the World Series. However, as I'll remind you, from a show we did only a couple weeks ago, when the Black Sox were found not guilty but still suspended by Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
Harold Rawson did the photography.
Of Gone with the Wind or Wizard?
Wizard. Ray Renahan did Gone with the Wind. That's why I knew it couldn't be him.
Comiskey, his team, that, you know, kind of mutinied on him.
And do you remember the eight?
No. They're actually one of the best paid teams in the league.
It's never good enough.
No, it's never good
neighbors.
Enough. Ethel Barrymore, born in 1879.
What was the only movie she, John, and Lionel made together? I don't think I've told you this.
No, I don't think you have.
Well, I'm telling you now, and you'll still forget it.
All right.
Rasputin and the Empress.
Rasputin and the Empress?
Yep.
Whew.
She was Rasputin. Took you a minute to get that, didn't it? All right.
Oh, man. 1912, the birth
of... You know, the great Rasputin was Christopher Lee. Man, he was...
Oh, yeah. He could do a lot of that hocus-pocus sort of mystic stuff.
Rather menacing.
Yeah.
I'd love to have been Rasputin. He was... But, you know, they still have his dick preserved.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. What a way to go. You can't take it with you, Armand.
I was doing a play.
They literally meant that for Rasputin.
I was doing a play. You can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the director was, there's a line in the play about, is it true about Rasputin?
Uh-huh.
And nobody knew what the hell that joke was.
Oh.
So I had explained to the director, she was taking it all wrong. Right. She was telling the actor to do this. I said, come, as a woman, you know, I said.
Let me explain this to you.
This is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it true about Rasputin?
Yeah.
She, huh? Yeah. That's the joke. She was, I don't know what the hell she was saying. Anyway.
1912, happy birthday to this lady. I grew up watching her with my grandmother.
I think a lot of people are just so scared of any recipe they see that says sugar, syrup, or caramel. And they're, no, I won't do anything like that. And that is, I think, this is one of this awful American syndrome of fear of failure.
Fear of looking like you.
There you go. A little cooking.
6'2".
A little philosophy. She was a tall lady.
A big,
handsome woman, you might say.
I might say homely. That's what I might say. In fact, I will say.
You know, she and her husband were in the OSS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a very interesting life.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Very interesting life.
She put a bayonet in your back.
Oh,
probably knew judo.
Or a cooking utensil.
Wow.
But yeah, I grew up watching...
She's an assassin with a ladle.
I don't know why I watched cooking shows as a kid. I thought they were entertaining.
I always did question your sexuality.
There wasn't much on.
I can explain it to you.
No, I was probably hungry.
You're a couple of peas short in the pod, as they used to say in the Empire.
So Julia Child, born in 1912. Now here's a lady you probably love, Armand. 1924, Phyllis Schlafly born.
I guess she's all right. I mean,
she's an arch conservative.
Yeah, I know.
Right up your alley.
I don't agree with a lot of her stuff.
No,
but,
okay.
Yeah, but she was Colorado, wasn't she? Isn't that where she was? Wasn't she representative or senator?
Yeah, well, lived in St. Louis.
Did she?
1925.
So that's where you get Schlafly beer, right?
I think there is a relation.
I think she is.
1925, Mike Connors, American actor and producer.
Armenian American.
Ah, real name?
Krikor Ohanian.
Krikor Ohanian.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
That's why you put him in here.
No. I knew you liked him because I know we've talked about, and I liked Mike Connors too. 1928, Malcolm Glazer, one of the,
not Armenian.
He's not Armenian, but owned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, bought Manchester United, obviously a very successful businessman. His two kids now run the show there. 1938, I did this just for you. She's an educator. She's a politician.
An educator. Yeah, educator. That's a good one.
Happy
birthday. Don't forget screenwriter, singer, lyricist.
Tap dancer.
Librettist.
Happy birthday, Maxine Waters.
Yeah, right.
Filibusterist.
God, I hate this woman. You know, now here's right where we go. Now, what does a representative make? $100,000, $125,000?
I do not know. I thought it
she's
was
worth
higher.
How many millions?
I don't know.
She's passing legislation that for her husband's bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a banker in L.A., and he's getting come on.
1950, the Princess Royal.
She's that old, man.
Yep, Anne is born.
So she was born before she was even queen, huh? I didn't know she was that old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was born before her mother, Queen Elizabeth, Elizabeth.
She wasn't born before her mother.
Became queen.
Yeah.
You didn't let me finish the sentence.
You're talking about a time paradox.
There was a clause still.
We're going to talk about time travel if you're going to do that.
So how would you like to, though, be born?
Yeah.
Now, Anne's older than Charles, right?
I don't know if anybody's older than Charles.
No, it's true.
He's
getting
terrible.
Pretty old. She was,
Wasn't she the equestrian?
Like her aunt?
No, I think, maybe. Yeah,
they're all equestrians.
Okay, because one of them was in the Olympics, and she's the only one that didn't need a sex check.
No, well, that's
in 76.
That's her then, probably. Yeah. She would have been 26 years
Princess
old. That's
Anne,
about right.
Yeah.
So the Princess Royal. Anne doesn't get to be. What a great gig, though. Doesn't really have to do anything.
Woo!
Born with a silver country in your mouth.
I love it.
1954, Stieg Larsson, Swedish journalist and author.
She looks like her mother, doesn't she?
She sure does. Have you ever read the girl who kicked the hornet's nest, the girl with the dragon tattoo, those Swedish crime books.
I haven't seen the movies.
Yeah, yeah, read the books. The American movie is horrible. The Swedish films, I hear, are really good. But Stieg Larsson, the author of those, happy birthday to him. Of course, he passed away in 2004. Craig McTavish, know why he's notable? Other than that it's his birthday?
Beating up people? Nope. I think he was the last guy without a helmet.
There
right?
you go. Last man in the NHL who could play without a helmet.
Right.
Edmonton Oilers, St. Louis Blue, New York Ranger, amongst others. 1972, happy birthday, Ben Affleck, who's actually turned out to be pretty good actor, pretty good director.
I don't know about his acting, but...
Nah, he's passable. He's,
you know,
I thought he did a good George Reeves in Hollywoodland.
Yeah. I don't think he's a very good writer, because I don't think he wrote that...
You don't think he wrote Argo?
No, not
or,
Argo.
Or Goodwill?
You're right. I think he had a lot of help on that
He may have. He may have. 1979, Carl Edwards, American NASCAR driver. When I was doing motorsports radio, Carl was probably the most frequent guest on our show. Like, so multiple times.
This is an homage.
Yeah, and he went on to win about 20-some Winston NASCAR, Nextel, Sprint Cup, whatever you call them now, races. He was a big-time driver. Made about $100 million, Armand. You'd like him.
Yeah, if he's rich, I like him.
Got his own plane and everything.
Okay, now you got a couple you missed. Louis de Broglie.
See, you love the French. You say you don't, but you honor them every time.
Well, this guy's a physicist, so we're going to give him a break.
Ah, a little science.
Yeah, this guy, particle wave duality, that's where he won his Nobel Prize. And anybody who's interested, here's his equation. So I guess when Dirac asked him, he said, yeah, I do have an equation. Lambda equals H over MV times square root of 1 minus V squared over C squared. Which H, of course, is the Planck's constant.
What's lambda represent?
Lambda's wavelength.
Okay.
Everybody knows that.
I don't know all these things. So lambda's always wavelength. Yeah. Okay.
Particle duality. V squared is velocity over C squared, which is speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
M is mass, I believe, and the velocity. V is velocity. Also, MC squared equals HV. That's interesting. Anyway, these are that he says these particles obey Maxwell's equations. Won the Nobel Prize for that. And a lot of this work was done based on Paul Dirac's work.
Wow.
Another one of our favorites.
You should do your own podcast on Paul Dirac.
1892. Well, I'll do a science and sex show you keep asking me to do.
Yeah.
1771. I guess I'm going in reverse order here. Walter Scott. I don't know how you...
I mentioned him.
Oh, you did?
And you
I wasn't listening.
I said, are you a fan? Oh. And you just went, huh?
Well, I was trying to look up the photographer.
Good.
Anyway, since we're talking about
him. Can you pay attention to the show you're doing?
Well, anyway, Ivanhoe is one of my favorite movies.
I was teeing that up, and I'm like, oh, he doesn't like Walter Scott. Not like Ivanhoe.
It's one of the first books
I read in grade school. And I don't know why, but I picked it up, I think, out of the school library.
Well, since we're going over this, I'm going to have to read a couple of cantos of Lochinvar.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you my name on Plenty of Fish was Young Lochinvar?
Yeah, you did.
Nobody knew enough.
Well, you, if
dummies knew that.
Yeah. Well, maybe some ladies did know it and scared them away.
No, actually, I wrote a poem and put it on there.
Oh, boy.
And a lot of women loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but they say, I love your poem. And I said, let's go out. I don't want to go out with you. I just like your
just
poem.
Just like your poem.
Yeah.
If you could stay where you are and write me poetry, we could have a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, you're an ugly bastard, but you can write.
Write me a sonnet, would you,
jeez.
Armand?
Sonnet, yeah. Man, if I can't get myself laid, it's not going to help you. So anyway, I like it.
I'm speaking as the lady.
All right, Thomas de Quincey?
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Oh, young Lochinvar is come out of the west. Through all the wild border, his steed was the best.
Mm-hmm.
And save his good broadsword, he weapons had none. He rode all unarmed, and he rode all alone. So faithful in love and so dauntless in war, there never was knight like the young Lochinvar.
I think that's why I liked reading the book, because it had great rhythm in those...
sing song.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember the movie Ivanhoe?
Yeah, a little bit.
Robert Taylor. Should have been Errol Flynn.
Yeah, that would have been a good Flynn
but,
movie.
What
was he busy making that he couldn't make Ivanhoe?
Every broad in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. The FFF Club.
Making martinis. That's what he was making. De Quincey, Confessions of an English Opium Eater.
What a name. What a name.
First real addict. Yeah, man.
Confessions of an English Opium Eater.
Yeah. He was kind of zoned out.
Oh, that should be an album title for somebody.
Anyway, Ivanhoe was good too, but Elizabeth Taylor was kind of miscast. She's not Jewish.
No.
And doesn't look Jewish.
No. But, no, Elizabeth Taylor's the definition of here's what an American looks like.
She's a goy. I guess she's a shiksa, right?
Yeah. She's got shiksa appeal.
Knock it off.
What?
It's every a time you make puns like that.
It's a Seinfeldism.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Elaine had chicks appeal.
Oh, I should have been.
Every able-bodied Israelite in the tri-state area was driving hard to the hoop for her.
All right. I was fatuous enough to believe that was an original comment.
Right. Nothing I have is original, Armand.
No,
you know
we have
that.
A team of writers for this show. You know that.
All right. Back to the events
shaping
our world. 1947, India, on the heels of Pakistan getting independence.
Right.
India, after 190 years of rule under the crown,
ever since,
joins the Commonwealth of Nations. Gandhi gets his way. Did they ever get him
a
suit?
Quit marching.
They ever get him a suit or something?
Salt your food and go back to being a lawyer.
So 1947, India, independent once again.
And who was the first prime minister? It wasn't Gandhi.
No, it wasn't. I know that.
If you can pronounce his first name, Nawarahal?
Norwalahal.
Nehru?
Nehru, because the jacket's named for him.
Yeah, I think he was the first prime minister, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Nehru jackets are cool. I still like them. I can't believe they didn't.
Yeah, Peter Sellers always wore them.
Oh, I know. I can't believe they're still not around. A Nehru jacket, I think.
Jawaharlal.
I've got to tell you.
Jawaharlal.
Maybe if you put yourself in a Nehru jacket on that Plenty of Fish, you'd have some luck.
I like his hat.
Let me see the hat.
I got to get one of those hats.
That's a nice lid.
Jawaharlal.
It's a nice chapeau.
Jawaharlal.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, oh, man, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one. 1948, the Republic of Korea established south of your 38th parallel.
Yeah, well, nothing but trouble there.
And we're still... Do you hear today? Apparently they were going to nuke us today?
I thought he put that off. I thought he postponed that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Postponed the attack on Guam. That's what I saw.
Maybe he had...
That's the crawl I saw.
Maybe he had a late lunch.
Yeah, he's got some Swedish... he's got a date with a Swedish model.
Now, here's one that I like. It's not a huge event, but if you've ever heard the name Konrad Schumann, he is an East German border guard in 1961. Now, this is August of 61. And the fencing is going up.
Now, when's our wall going up?
I don't know. He's on the east side, of course. He's got a whole bunch of West Berliners on the other side. And they start yelling at Konrad. Hey, come on. Come on over.
Sure.
Come on over. And they keep it up. And they can tell they're getting to the guy.
I'd go.
And Konrad.
I waved a few marks around.
Konrad.
Yeah.
Spying the situation. Makes a break for it, and there's a famous picture of him leaping over dividing line or rubble or whatever, because it's not a wall. It's just basically barbed wire and stuff at this point.
I'd rather be the pilot who flew the MiG in and got $100,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, this guy didn't get anything.
I know. He just got a pat on the back. Hey,
strudel.
Welcome over. Here's a beer and some strudel, and here's a pretzel.
Glockenspiel. Lederhosen.
But Konrad Schumann, he...
All right. A hero of the Cold War.
He's... One of the, he makes the break for it.
Traitor and a coward. Good for him.
Well, to the East Germans.
Yeah. Oh, boy, the Stasi. Boy. Where the hell were they?
Oh, that's brutal.
Should have sniped this guy.
Those guys
mid-air.
Were brutal. 4 years later, August 15th, one of the most
The Beatles.
Famous.
Jump back over and go into East Berlin, right?
Yeah, well.
Not quite. Nowhere near.
They play the iconic concert at Shea Stadium on August 15th. Here is the number that they opened with after Ed Sullivan walks out and introduces them. Now, keep in mind,
the Beatles.
If you're younger, you've probably been to a stadium show. But back then, a stadium show meant this. We're going to put up a little stage at second base. Nobody sits on the field. The band's going to go out there, play through their own speakers. You're not really going to hear anything because the crowd's going to drown everybody out. And they're going to play for 30 minutes.
I like it better that way. Let's do that again.
But here's what the Beatles opened with.
So they ruined it.
As they walked out to the huge Shea Stadium throng August 15th, 1965.
Okay.
You'd love women to go crazy for you like that, wouldn't you?
How about one?
I mean, these,
I don't want to go crazy.
These ladies,
my laundry.
They're just throwing themselves at the dugout trying to. Here's one. She fell over the guardrail. There's a poor girl closing her eyes and covering her ears.
I still wouldn't want to be married to Yoko Ono. I don't care if I am more popular than Jesus.
They even had to tune up. Listen.
Let's go. What is it?
Mic check. Tuning
up. Pre-game show?
Absolutely.
This is batting practice. It's not even their song.
No, it's not. And I think this recording is about the best recording there is. Because if you recorded this from the stands, no chance.
Last concert,
San Francisco,
yeah, that's
Candlestick Park,
right?
1966.
Play Caruso if you're gonna play this stuff.
I'm sorry, he never played Shea Stadium.
He was more popular than these guys.
Oh,
1920s.
You joke, sir. Oh,
he could blow them off. He could blow them off stage.
Well, here's somebody who could blow both the Beatles and Caruso off stage. 1969.
Jimi Hendrix.
Upstate New York.
Where we get the national anthem. Christ, what is that noise? Oh. I thought you played the national anthem.
You want to hear the anthem?
Didn't Abbie Hoffman interrupt the Who? What was he up to?
He might have.
Moron. What was he... Yeah, the man, don't interrupt the Who.
You know, he might have,
first,
I don't
first
know.
Act was, now he was last, I think, Hendrix. First act was Havens.
Hendrix threw a fit, though, when he apparently found out he was following the Who. Because he's like, oh, what the hell am I going to do after following Daltrey and Townsend? I'm a one-man act. I mean, got Mitch Mitchell. Here you go.
That's the Who?
No, that's Voodoo Child.
Oh. This is Max Yasner's farm, right?
Yep.
You know, two people died.
Yeah.
One had a heroin overdose. The other one was run over by a tractor.
Ugh.
Sleeping in a hay field or something. Jeez. I don't like mud and bugs and stuff.
Oh, God.
You know,
I would have hated it.
I have pretty cool orgies, though. You know anybody who went there?
No. I've never met or talked to anyone who was actually at Woodstock.
Teachers of South at Granite City was there.
Oh,
used to describe his experience.
Oh, I bet.
3 days in the mud.
No thanks. Upstate New York? No thanks. At least it was cool, probably. Probably wasn't blistering.
I wouldn't go to the second one. Wasn't there another one 25 years later?
Oh, it was horrible.
Was it?
Horrible. I thought it was horrible.
What a super jam.
I remember the Beastie Boys were there, and they were pissed. Because of the way the crowd was behaving. I mean, girls were being sexually assaulted in the crowd. It was a...
What do you expect?
Don't give me what do you expect.
Well, I'm just telling you. Like, would you let your daughter go to that?
Fuck no.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
But still, it doesn't mean...
Well, what do you think the guys think is going to be? It's free love, right?
Yeah.
So they're not going to be asking.
So there
it's
you go.
Be jumping.
Woodstock opening up in New York.
And closing, thankfully.
1971, here's one that really gets Armand, because one of his favorite presidents, Richard Nixon.
Oh, boy.
Well, this is the day he finally severs the cord.
Good idea.
Severs the cord entirely.
What do we need a gold standard for when we got the Federal Reserve to keep the dollar strong?
The break from the gold standard is official.
Yep.
The ending of convertibility of the U.S. dollar into gold by foreign investors, so there is no more turning a dollar into gold by anyone.
Pure confidence. That's what your dollar's
now
worth.
It's all trust.
Yes, that's what it is. Okay. That's why it's worth 3% of what it was in 1913. I don't know. I don't like this new guy. You know the guy who's going to be in the Federal Reserve? What's his name? Cohen? He's a Goldman Sachs dude.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
And I get the dollar value. You know, for exports, the dollar, you know, needs to be.
Well, you want it weak.
You want it weak. I get that.
For exports.
I get that.
Wall Street likes it weak, too.
But it'd sure be nice to be able to.
But I don't mind it being weak against foreign currencies, because I don't travel anyway. I don't care. But that
I do.
Keep it strong. Well,
I'd like my dollar to buy something.
Stay in the office where you belong.
Oh.
Go back to work. I'm here every day.
I'm here every day.
I'll see you on the weekends.
Well, that's the weekends we're off.
Not me.
I work from home on the weekends. The big year in 1977. You ever heard of this? Ohio State.
I heard of SETI.
And
more waste of money.
Their radio telescope, it gets a, this is the SETI, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Is that right? SETI?
Correct, yeah.
They get a radio signal from deep space, and the event is, of course, called the WOW signal, because the volunteer who was on the SETI desk that day wrote down in his notepad, WOW.
Well, I just think there was just like a little, there was like a spike or something in the... I don't know, meant anything.
Signal.
Who knows what it was, yeah.
Signal. Come on.
That was the aliens said wow. Felicitations and greetings.
You know, there's a one in West Virginia where...
What, an alien?
No. Oh. Well, there's a lot of things in West Virginia.
New Mexico is where the aliens
are. But they have that huge listening device where the town is a complete cell phone electronic blackout zone.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Come on. If the aliens wanted to contact us, they'd...
They're too far away.
They'd find a better way.
Well, they abduct us.
How about
bring us back?
How about the hubris of us thinking that we're worthy of being contacted and all this? Okay. Good.
You don't think they listen to the show?
I hope not.
Our show's flying out to light speed.
That is one thing, though, Armand. Everything since the advent of the radio wave is flying through.
Something's out there time, about almost 100 light years.
Yeah, it's flying through time and space at about 100 light years away right now.
See, I'm not sure about radio. I thought radio bounced on the ionosphere.
Yeah, I think you're right. But television doesn't, right?
Television, but it flies all over the place.
So somebody somewhere.
I think radio just bounces on the ionosphere. It doesn't go anywhere.
In about another couple thousand light years can watch reruns of I Love Lucy.
Well, hey, that's worth immortality.
That's not bad.
I'd like to be around to see that. I'd rather watch The Honeymooners with some extraterrestrial. See if they get the joke. It wouldn't be as funny to the moon, Alice. You know, we're already,
to the moon.
Yeah, you're already
which moon?
You're in the Andromeda galaxy.
We have four moons. Which moon, Alice?
That's like the Coneheads. Remember, isn't that the drink they took to space? Tang to the moon. That was funny.
All right, who died today? I only have two, Armand. Can you help me out? Do you have any?
Well, one of them. Macbeth. 1057.
1057.
Apparently, wasn't a bad king. He was just
Macbeth.
The reason Shakespeare portrayed him as such an ass.
Right,
and
why?
Murder. Well, because he wasn't descended from James. Duncan, who he took over for, was descended from James the First, who's the king.
Yes.
So you make the guy you think murdered him and probably
You make him the bad guy.
Yeah, right.
Got it.
You make him pretty very good.
Got it. Good. Okay.
So anyway, that's the reason for that, even back then.
Do you like the painting, the apple with the bowler hat?
No, but I like This Is Not a Pipe.
I love the
painting
this.
Of the pipe that is not a pipe.
I just saw that this past summer out at the L.A. County Museum of Art.
Yeah.
That's where that's housed.
Yeah. Well, it actually has a name. The Treachery of Images. I didn't know that was the name of it.
This is not a pipe.
Yeah. At least
René Magritte. Magritte?
Yeah, Magritte.
Yeah.
Belgian painter.
Died in 1967. Now, the interesting death I have today, and the one I'd like to talk about to close the show, is Clay Shaw, American businessman. That's how he's listed, American businessman.
Uh-oh. That's kind the of only, catch-all.
Only person brought to trial for the murder of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, well, I think he did it.
Now, of course, that was Jim Garrison, the district attorney for New Orleans, Louisiana, that district. And New Orleans certainly was a spot where things about the assassination took root, but that's because of Oswald. As fun a movie JFK is to watch, there's
watch that in Inconvenient Truth on a double bill.
Scintilla of truth going on
here. You won't have one iota.
So I always imagine what it was like to be Clay Shaw, who maybe he didn't love Kennedy. Maybe he was a bad guy. Who knows? But he had to sit there on trial for the murder of the president of the United States.
I'm not sure. What was the case against this guy?
Conspiracy.
Oh. Well,
haven't you ever watched JFK? This is Tommy Lee Jones' character.
Just once.
Oh, you probably got so pissed off, didn't you?
I thought it was stupid. And like,
well, it's a movie.
I know, but it was long and kind of boring, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not
a big Kevin Costner fan anyway.
No, but Gary Oldman was a good Oswald.
Oh, I don't remember any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an Oliver Stone movie. I like Platoon, and I liked, he's supposed to be
Did
real,
you like
real
Salvador?
Dick.
That was an early one. It was before Platoon, even.
He wrote Scarface, although he stole a lot of it from the original Scarface.
Did you like Wall Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I think Wall Street has held up maybe as his best.
Born on the 4th of July.
I did not. I don't know, Armand. I just can't.
The guy with the hole in the hamburger.
I know. I'm not there.
Right. Well, that's one he won Best Director for. I guess he won for Platoon also. Did he win two?
I remember I wanted to see Platoon. My dad and I was about 15 years old, and we went to see it. And that was about as hard a movie as I had seen at that point in terms of, on-screen violence. And,
it was no fun.
And just the content, the psychological content as well of what those guys were going through.
Yeah, and I think Barringer and Defoe kind of cancel each other out because they're both nominated. So Michael Caine won that year for Best Supporting.
For Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yeah, Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yeah, which had the great line in it, we're just in need of some sperm here. Woody's trying to get, they're trying to get pregnant. And,
oh, I don't remember that. Yeah, that's I remember Max von Sydow. Can you imagine the intellect of anyone who watches wrestling? Oh, that's that one.
Can you? Speaking of wrestling, just programming note, Ric Flair is in a coma. He's in a coma.
Oh, yeah, I know he's sick.
Because,
what happened?
The latest I read this morning, that was the coma was to prep for surgery.
Oh, okay. They put him in a...
Yeah, medically induced.
Open up his cranium?
Not sure. I don't know.
Put you in a coma.
I'm not sure, but you might get in there, work on the feet, and get some billing. So,
hey,
you know.
Put him in a toe hold.
All right. The event that affects the world we live in.
How old, I guess? He wasn't 75?
He's getting up there, man.
The Nature Boy.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the Jesuits.
No.
I don't think so. I don't know if it's the...
I don't know. Let's look at this.
It could be
the Wizard of Oz, I guess.
No, you know what? In a strange way, I really think it's India.
He's out of surgery and he's resting.
Independence for India, I think, has had a big effect on our world because of the economic giant that India has become over the past 70 years. And continues to become. There's over a billion people living in that nation now.
How about the Korea?
And Korea was, 1 year later.
Nothing but trouble with
those guys. The 38th parallel established, and if Kim Jong-un wakes up from a nap in a bad mood.
I don't think it's going to happen. I hope really don't.
I hope not. So those.
He's only 68. He's not that old.
Who?
Ric Flair.
Oh, well, he's not. Okay. So, yeah, those might be the two that affect the world we live in today the most.
I don't know.
India.
The signal from the SETI.
No, I don't think. I don't think that has any bearing. I don't think that has any bearing at all. In fact, I think it might have been a fraternity prank.
I don't know if we're ever going to find here again.
I'd love it if I got to live long enough to see some type of contact made.
The only thing that's going to live long enough for that is a tardigrade.
Yeah.
The water bears.
Yeah, the water bears.
Everybody else would be dead.
They'll hop an asteroid. They'll be someplace else.
Send them out. Yeah.
So that'll
do it. Send them to Mars.
August 15th.
You're going to live on Mars?
In the books, folks. Hey, don't forget, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. For Armand Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert, and for our producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, and show writer Corey Smith, we will talk to you again when August 16th rolls around right here at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.